Got some money burning a hole in your pocket from that fat tax return you're getting back this year? I have a great way to help you spend it. Head over to Capital Costumes on Etsy. Etsy.com/shop/Capital Costumes. CapitolCostumes. And pick up a sweet 3D printed horror, video game, or just pop culture in general piece of artwork. The stuff is the best. Yeah, the stuff is the best. So again, go to Etsy.com/shop/Capital Costumes. CapitolCostumes. Tell them I sent you. And use the code XHRPODCAST for 15% off your order. What's up, Goreheads, and welcome to another episode of the Extreme Horror Replay Podcast. And I have gotten that wrong in the last couple episodes. having it correct this time is a good thing.
Yeah, you have it written down there on the notebook. Show me.
So I am one of your hosts, Ben, and my lovely wife, Nancy, is sitting next to me, and we are going to talk about a movie today.
Now I'm just lovely.
What else would you like to be? Lovely, smart, intelligent?
You usually say beautiful.
Is there a difference?
Beautiful is better than lovely.
Okay. My beautiful, smart-ass wife, Nancy, is with me today. As per usual, being her snarky self.
For now.
For now. So we're going to do a movie. It's been a little while. We've had a couple, we did an interview with a gentleman starting his own comic. And we had a kind of whatever episode where we just kind of bullshitted and chit-chatted. That was actually fun. I listened to that today. And I'm going to share a little annoyance with me.
And with you?
With you. What did I say? Yeah. I'm going to share a little annoyance with you. And this comes from our faithful listeners. Whenever we get feedback on the show, it's always about you. I don't know what that says about what they think about me, or if they just like your attitude, personality, and humor better. But... yeah, I don't know. It's just...
I am, after all, me.
So, for those of you out there listening, I'd like some feedback, too. You know, whatever. But okay, so...
Feedback. Put more Nancy on the show. Yeah.
The whole show was my idea, okay? People, listeners. But yeah, so, okay, we're going to do a Would You Rather. So, hun, go ahead and hit me with your Would You Rather. If it's good or not, it doesn't matter.
Okay. I had to think of this on the fly. So this is like within the last like 2 minutes came up with it.
Right.
Would you rather spend a week in a room with that, the stinkiest fish smelling sardine food?
Oh, Surstromen?
Yeah.
Surstromen.
Would you rather spend a week in a room with that or would you rather spend a year in a room with yourself and somebody else, and you are not able to shower?
Okay. So I have never actually smelled the Surstromen or Sturstromen. I don't know. It's what, Finnish or Scandinavian herring that's pickled in some really, really rank.
Apparently, stuff. It's so bad it makes people like puke.
Throw up
and smelling it. Yeah.
I wanted to do this the Sturstromen challenge for the old YouTube channel we had, but okay. So, man.
And just to explain a little, you would have access to a bathroom, and you would be fed. You know.
So you could use a bathroom, and you could go to the bathroom. And you would be able to eat.
Yeah.
But for an entire year, you would not be able to shower.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have a hard time going more than 2 days without showering. So I'm easily picking this Sturmen, the pickled fish. Mostly because of a comfortability issue. Now, never having smelled the fish.
You feel really comfortable smelling rotten fish.
How big is the room?
It would be like.
Are we talking like 10 by 10 or 20 by 20?
We'll say like 15 by 15.
You just had to.
Okay. I couldn't use either of yours.
So, okay, a 15 by 15 room. Is this in both circumstances?
In both circumstances.
Okay.
Can I amend it?
It wouldn't be you if you didn't.
Let's not do a year because there's too many confounders with that. Let's say it's a month.
Okay. So it's a month in a room with somebody else. You're able to eat and use the facilities, but you cannot shower.
Yes, for a month.
Or.
And you're with somebody that can't shower.
Or a week in the same type room with fresh cans of Sturmen.
And there's no like.
Sturmen.
Luxuries in the first scenario where you can like give yourself a Polish shower, use some like.
No perfume, no wipes.
Yeah, no deodorant, nothing.
So basically no cleaning, period.
Yeah.
And you can't even clean your butt.
No.
Okay. Are you able to clean in the fish room? But it's just the smell of the fish.
We'll say yes, you're able to clean, but you have to clean in the room with the fish smell.
Okay, I'm still picking the fish room. I would be able to put up with the fish, and there's no ventilation.
No.
No ventilation.
But see, you've never even smelled the fish.
But just based on the videos and things alone, I think it would be, I think you would probably get used to it after a little bit. I would have to imagine that your nose would kind of like block it out. All right, yeah, my final answer, I'm staying in the fish room.
I would also stay in the fish room just because, like you said, the comfortability factor.
Right.
I mean, and for a woman, if you can't shower, you know, obviously there's times of the month that.
Right.
So.
Does the person that you're in the room with, is it someone you know or is it a stranger?
We'll say it's a stranger.
Then, yeah, definitely the fish room.
What if the stranger is Carrie Byron from Mythbusters, hon?
I don't know who that is. I'm still staying in the fish room.
Okay.
Even if it was the most attractive person on the planet, even if it was you, after the first day or two, you wouldn't want to touch each other because of the funk.
Yeah, but didn't back in the Middle Ages, they didn't shower because like, people liked like the natural scent.
We don't live in the natural ages. Or the middle ages. We don't live in the Middle Ages.
It's not natural for a human being to like shower as much as, especially Americans, because we feel like we have to shower every day. We use the toothbrush and, you know, we use deodorant and we put perfume on and.
Right. But for me, it would be a matter of comfortability.
You would be comfortable smelling rotten fish for a week?
I would be more comfortable smelling. I would be more comfortable smelling rotten fish than being uncomfortable myself. If I'm using the bathroom and even if I'm wiping, after 2 or 3 days, you're going to start getting, you know, like itchy if you're not washing.
Yeah.
And your hair is going to get like dreadlocked Maddie.
Well, again, I mean, like back in even the Victorian era, they didn't bathe.
Right.
And then they would, they'd wear wigs because they had to shave their heads from lice.
Okay, so you have that part down.
But the wigs would get, like, they'd have to powder the wigs, and the wigs would get, like, I got things crawling up through it. I don't know.
It's not even a question. Give me the fish. Keep the everything else to yourself.
All right. Well, I told you it wasn't a very good would you rather. This is like...
It was fine.
It's so, actually pretty horrible, okay?
We got a good five-minute conversation out of it.
Yeah.
So the movie that we watched, I guess technically you could call this horror. I guess horror adjacent would be more an apt description for it. We watched Split from 2016, and it does score a 7.3 on IMDb. It is one of those movies that, Nancy and I like to quote it quite a bit, and it's really tiny snippets of it that you just kind of pick out. Anyone who's seen this movie, it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie, and it is the second in the trilogy. I think they call it the Glass Trilogy, with Unbreakable, Split, and then whatever the third one was. But so it's one of those movies where I don't know that you could technically call it horror, but it is horror adjacent. Maybe thriller horror, I guess it would be considered.
Yeah, I would say thriller.
So, but it stars James McAvoy and that big eyed girl. I can't think of what her name is.
I was going to ask Anya
Taylor-Joy.
Okay, I couldn't think of her name.
Yeah. And this is probably one of the first movies that she ever starred in. So,
this was before her buckle, whatever, removal surgery.
You keep talking about that. What is that?
Well, they take like tissue out of your cheeks so that you have like sunken, like high cheekbones.
So you look like so you're puckering your.
Right. Right. Like, and she does not look as good after having this.
I can't imagine most people wouldn't.
Yeah, she just looks like, it's kind of like a quick way to look.
Gaunt?
Emaciated, yeah. she was so pretty before. And the fact that she did that, and other people are doing it in Hollywood too, which is really kind of sad because, you know.
Which is funny because you and I were just talking last night about Melissa McCarthy, the bigger gal from Step Bride or what? Bridesmaids, and like The Heat, and you know all the movies that she's been in, and we had kind of discussed that she's a bigger woman, but she hasn't fallen into the trend of losing the weight.
And well, yeah, she embraces.
She's embracing her body.
Yeah.
Like, who's the one girl from the singing movie, the a cappella movie?
Pitch Perfect?
Yeah, Pitch Perfect. What was that? The girl's name? The British actress?
Oh, yeah. I can't think of it. She had blonde hair. Yeah, she's just came out as a lesbian not too long ago.
Les, be honest.
What is her name?
But anyway, yeah, she looks horrible.
Yeah, she lost the weight. And I mean, and that's pretty much in Hollywood when people are like full figured. And I don't know if they get the lap band or they get, you know, whatever they get done. And they lose all this weight and then they have this like just droopy face. And it's not very attractive. And trust me, I am, you know, plus size.
No.
I am, but...
You are... Oh, my God. You are not plus sized.
Well, you see me every day. You can't see, like, the fluctuations as they occur.
Oh. Okay. Whatever.
Well, I'm just saying, If I were to get like lap band surgery or whatever, your stomach can only tolerate eating a certain amount of food, so obviously you lose a lot of weight really quick. But the skin just hangs, it like right. sags.
Right.
And it makes you look older. Just like with Jessica Simpson.
Right.
So she just lost like tons of weight.
And it makes them look old yeah. faster.
And people are just hating it because she's got like creepy looking eyes that are like, you know, like crazy eyes, and her teeth that looked like, you know, they're kind of big when she was normal size, but now that she's lost a bunch of weight, her teeth just look like gigantic, like Matt Dillon and There's Something About Mary. That's what her teeth look like now. So she should have just kept. She looked so much better when she was a little bit heavier.
Rebel Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, this is another one. She's lost a bunch of weight. Now, Adele, on one hand, is she's got like millions of dollars at her disposal, so she can like, you know, nip tuck whatever, you know, was sagging when she lost weight. But she's kind of gaining that weight back again, and she's looking better. She's what, like one of those people like Kate Winslet that just look better if they're a little bit.
I was just going to say one of your female crushes is Kate Winslet.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause she's not like your typical Hollywood, you know, show my clavicle off when I'm on the red carpet kind of people, you know?
Right. To me, a woman needs to have a little bit of meat on her bones.
Yeah, I would, if I was a guy, I would probably prefer that.
I wouldn't like grabbing bones.
Well, you really can't. And when we met, I was like 110 pounds.
You were a lot skinnier.
Yeah, super skinny. And I hated it. I absolutely hated it.
I prefer you now over then. But I did fall in love with you back then.
Yeah, well, yeah. I do remember you saying, though, that you would never date a fat woman, fat girl. You said it, did you not?
I did. I'm cutting this out.
You shouldn't. Remember, after I had Gabby, we were walking through the Brighton Myers. We had her in the stroller in her car seat and everything, because I was a huge germaphobe. She had like screens up and no way of being able to contact the air around her.
Mm-hmm.
And we were walking through the women's department on the way to the cash registers, and you said that I was chubby right after I had her.
I don't remember this
at
all.
Of course you don't. I do.
Oh.
And when we dated, that was one of the things that you said. I would never date a fat chick. My, how the turntables.
Luckily for you, we're not dating anymore.
Not each other.
Wow. Okay, so.
Oh, yeah. We're just supposed to gloss over about you and Pegleg.
Nancy thinks I'm having an ongoing affair with a woman with a wooden leg. So
yes.
I don't even know how to start. Anyway, so yeah, Split from 2016, 7.3 on IMDb, stars what's his name?
Hey, Mr. Short-Term Memory.
Anya Taylor-Joy and McAvoy. Yeah. What the fuck's his first name? Chris? Kevin?
You don't John. Have it written down? You've got notes.
No, I don't have
it written. James. Is it James?
James. Yeah. James McAvoy.
That sounds right.
Who also starred in It. I do remember that. So the movie.
But he was in It?
He was in the remake.
What did he play?
He was one of the grown-ups. He was in It Part 2. He was one of the grown-ups.
Oh, we didn't see. I don't I don't think I saw It Part 2, the second one.
Yeah, we did. We own them.
I only remember seeing the first remake.
Yeah, he was I think he was Stuttering Stanley. I just listened to the movie.
Well, I mean, it's not that important, but
he was Bill, Stuttering Bill. Bill Hanlon. No. Mike Hanlon. Bill. Oh fuck. I don't remember. But anyway, so the movie starts out, there's three girls at a party, Casey, Claire, and Marcia. And apparently I have spelled Marcia like six different ways in my notes. But they're at this party and they get kidnapped by,
well, Casey, right, is the buckle surgery girl.
Yeah. And you're Taylor Joy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's kind of the outcast that they invited. Even she's though like she the, wasn't really cool, but yeah,
she's like the emo kind of.
Yeah, she
like
didn't quite loner, fit in. Artsy. With, and yeah. The other two were obviously like princesses, you know.
The in crowd.
Yeah.
So, but they invited her. Yeah, they invited Casey because I guess the father of one of the girls said, you know, hey, you should, you know, invite her, be friendly, whatever. So Casey is waiting for a ride from her father. Which you actually come to learn that her father is dead later in the movie. He's already dead. So she's
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. She's waiting for this ride, and the three of them walk out to the popular girl's car, or the popular girl's dad's car, and James McAvoy, his character, and see, I don't even know which character this is supposed to be that kidnaps him, because... Okay, spoiler alert, he has multiple personality disorder, yeah. Or DID, or whatever it is. So he's got like, I think the total is, I think it was like 19 or 21 different characters that he actually, quote unquote, has inside of him.
Fun fact, his doctor was the gym teacher on Carrie.
Was it?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
The original Carrie.
Yeah, I had no idea. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Good call. Taking a sip. So they go out to their car, and it's either Dennis or Bruce or Hedwig or somebody.
He's got a lot of personalities. Some of them stand out more than others.
Some of them are good, some of them are evil. But James McAvoy's character comes into the car and he gasses the two girls in the back, and then he eventually gasses Casey and he kidnaps them. Now he takes them back to this building that he's living in.
Some lair.
And
I think it's like an underground lair, it looks like. There's no windows or anything.
Well, you do learn that it's like the underground passageways of a zoo. All his movies take place in like Pittsburgh or Philadelphia or something like that. Or what we were saying, there was Phillies.
The Sixth Sense took place.
Was in Philadelphia. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so all M. Night's movies.
Wait, was it Hereditary?
No. No, that was just a shit movie.
But he did that movie.
No, he didn't. That was Ari Aster.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he play a cameo?
No.
Huh. I got that idea.
He looked kind of like the sun. Kind of, sort of.
Yeah. I've been thinking this whole time.
Oh, yeah, no. There was no twist in Hereditary. He always has a twist. The only twist in Hereditary was that it sucked, and it fooled everybody into thinking it was a good movie.
Did Split have a twist?
Yes, the Beast, I guess? I don't know, actually. Was there a twist?
I wouldn't say there's a twist. The whole movie was very entertaining just because he did such a great job of having these different personalities.
Yeah, he is a superb actor, and like we said, he's got 21 personalities inside of him. And every one of them has like a different vocal inflection, a different personality, a different.
It could just... be like 20 different movies that you're watching and he's playing 20 different characters, but you're all in the same movie.
It would be very interesting to see, like, maybe if they made this into a TV show, like, in terms of like being a long format, like series, or a long format, like a one season series where they show like each different character, or like do a background thing, like people in the community, the horror community say, oh, well, they should do like a Netflix series or something on the ghosts. Oh,
you know that
13 ghosts.
That the millennials like that. Within the next 10 years, they're going to do like a prequel or something for this.
I think the prequel was Unbreakable.
And I'm talking about like a limited series
and then...
that like breaks down every personality.
So he goes to, I don't know. I think it would be interesting to see what the other personalities were, because you only actually see like what, five of them.
Yeah, they don't want to confuse you though. You're watching a movie; you don't want to be all like, "Who the hell is he now?"
I don't think you'd be confused because his
characters... I think he does such a good job, but we only see like what, three or four different.
It was maybe five,
and that was enough for us to realize, for us to believe that he's got multiple personalities.
They were good. That was the problem.
Well, yeah. I mean, I only have like three.
Do you have multiple personalities, or do you just hear other voices or hear voices in your head?
Does it have to be like an either or? Can it be a both?
It's funny because I was just telling Little Ben from Watching Films on the Toilet podcast today that I have never been so annoyed yet so turned on by the same person.
Were you referring to me?
Of course I was. You can drive.
Thanks.
You can drive me nuts, but we click.
Thank you. I think
it's a compliment. It may be a backhanded compliment, but still a compliment. So he goes to visit his psych doc, his what would you call it? His
psychologist.
His psychologist. And at this point he is it Bruce? I don't know. But he's acting like he's a
From Boston.
From Boston. He's got a really thick Boston accent. He's a fashion designer.
Goodwill Hunting accent.
and he, Trisha was one of his personalities.
Okay, was that the turtleneck?
She had a paprika.
Yeah, that was our favorite.
That one and Hedwig. Hedwig was the child. First, Trisha, one of his personalities, obviously female, comes to the girls and tells them basically that they need to chill out, they need to relax, they need to do what one of his other personalities is telling him or telling them to do, and
she's wearing a turtleneck with a necklace and a long skirt,
yeah,
but it's still James McAvoy.
It's just
in like wearing women's clothing.
It's basically him in drag.
Yeah, but he does it like
he's got like the the subtle like female vocal.
Yeah, he
tones
he makes his voice like very tender and graceful.
Also, kind of creepy though.
Of course, well, you're looking at a guy that. Normally, when you see a guy wearing women's clothes, they usually have the whole shebang. They have like the makeup and the wig and all that. This was just him, but he was wearing a woman's outfit,
woman's clothes,
and he was able to speak like a woman and do like the inflections of a woman really well, actually.
So Then his next character shows up, and his name is Hedwig. Hedwig is apparently a 9-year-old boy, and
with a lisp.
Anyway, has a red sock, etc.
etc.
So Hedwig comes in, and he visits, and he lets it slip that my notes are all over the place. So, okay, let's skip the plot. Okay, so Hedwig is this 9-year-old boy, this 9-year-old personality.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we go back to James McAvoy and the way he is talking, and he's like, he's speed talking like a 9-year-old would.
Yeah. And it's endearing. Now, you're kind of like, oh, he's so cute.
Nash was 9 years old 2 years ago, and he would do the same thing. Nash is a little different. Nash is kind of, for his age, I think, advanced. And I'm not trying to brag on Nash. He is a good kid, though. But I think Hedwig's character, even though he says he's 9, would be more like a 6-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the way he's talking, like he flip-flops from topic to topic to topic, like really super quick. Like he's, oh, I have a walkie-talkie in my room. I wear red socks, etc.
But he listens to like rap. Like
he talks about Kanye, like listening to Kanye. Kanye's his main man, and he listens to, it was a dubstep band, and I have it on my phone, but it's like Frog Stomp or something.
He does the whole, you know, you can't see the body language that I'm doing, but it's like a homeboy.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Barry is the fashion designer Bostonite. Bostonian? Is it Bostonian?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
he's the germaphobe.
No, Dennis is the germaphobe.
Oh, okay.
Barry is the Bostonian fashion designer. That he's the one that always visits the psychologist. Patricia is the motherly character, and he ends up having, or she, he, it, I don't know, ends up having lunch with two of the girls. And it was tuna fish. What did he make her?
Egg salad.
Egg salad that he added paprika.
Yeah. That's the best part. You're gonna want to watch it and then replay it over and over again.
I added paprika. But so he
I wonder if he ad-libbed that.
I don't know. This would be another one of those movies that you'd watch the commentary on.
Yeah.
But he takes Marcia and Casey to lunch, and Marcia, who is one of the popular girls, hits him in the back with a chair to escape. And
is that eyebrows or is that the other one?
Marcia was the, I guess she would be the black girl.
Okay. All right.
Mixed,
yeah.
Mixed race girl. The darker of the two popular girls.
Okay. Yeah.
So. And, you know, we always talk about in these horror movies how if you're going to hit somebody with a weapon, that you need to aim for the damn head, not the back. Because hitting him in the back is just, whatever. Hedwig comes back, and he's this 9-year-old boy, in quotes, and he is talking to Casey, and he says he wants to kiss her. So.
And she's already thinking like she's got inside this guy's mind.
Casey,
and she's starting to manipulate him.
Casey is very intelligent, and she realizes what's going on. Like, as things start playing out, she realizes that, okay, this guy definitely has multiple personalities, and he definitely, like, okay, if I can, like, figure out this character, maybe I can get this character to manipulate that character or the, you know, that personality. So she's playing on this, again, quote unquote, 9-year-old's like personality. And she says, okay, well, you know, I'll be your first crush and I'll give you a kiss.
Yeah.
And the way he does it, he moves in for this kiss, and like, there's no pucker. There's no like sensuality about it. He just kind of like puts his mouth on hers and they just kind of sit there for like an extended like 5, 6.
Do you remember your first kiss?
Not really, no.
I remember mine. It's very awkward.
I remember our first kiss. Oh man. Nancy slipped me the tongue on our first date. We had literally just started going out like 2 hours earlier.
we decided to be official.
I walked her to her front door and I moved in for a kiss and she like full on just engulfed my face and slipped me the tongue. Just
this chemistry.
So where are we at here?
You had no complaints.
Hell no.
Wait, didn't you go home and tell your dad, I like one twin, but I kissed the other?
I didn't know what was going on back then. I was confused as fuck. Your sister listens to the show.
Which one? I have multiple sisters. Obviously, Noreen, yeah.
Yeah, duh.
I just, you know what bugs me about the whole story about you going home and saying...
I was a fucking idiot, okay?
You weren't even, like, with her. I mean, you had no chance.
No, I didn't. And no, I wasn't.
It's not like, you know, you didn't have a chance because Noreen was all that great. Because you're not Noreen.
Okay.
Just the fact that in your 17-year-old teenage boy brain, you're thinking, I got some twins.
You know, my dad accused me of being high when I came in that night.
Wait, after our first date? After
our first date.
You never told me that.
I said, why did you think that I was high? And he goes, because you never come in and talk to us like you did. Okay, whatever.
Knocked you off your socks. That's what I did. That's the power of my kiss.
Did I mention that people always comment about how you act on the show and never me?
Practiced on melons.
You did?
No, I'm just kidding. I did.
Like boob melons?
I practice on guys. I'm kidding. Anybody that knows me that knows that I did not do that.
I have to turn the security cameras on while I'm at work because Nancy works from home just to make sure she's not.
You are. Are you recording me?
Oh, yeah. You walk around naked all day.
I don't, but I was kind of wondering if you've got a camera on me, like when I'm doing my work.
There's a camera in the sunroom. No, I turn it off after you come back.
From kids. You say you do.
I can show you the clips.
We've got one in the bedroom that you didn't tell me was recording.
I did too.
You didn't tell me you were recording that.
Recording what? Go ahead, hon, say it.
I saw after the fact that he had been recording us.
Recording us doing what, hon?
Doing something that would be illegal to record without somebody's consent.
She caught thrusting.
Fucking pervert. More than once.
Who's the one who still has it on her phone?
I don't.
Yes, you do. Liar.
I don't think I do.
I think you call it your spank bank.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah. Now we're moving on. So Barry, the Bostonian, goes back to the doctor and finally admits that he is Dennis. Who is a neat freak or a germaphobe. And then we go, and he starts talking about this Beast character that is never really brought up again,
I just feel like that whole thing, like, ruins the movie.
You don't like the beast part?
I don't like when they put like supernatural stuff in a horror movie.
Okay, so
I really don't.
The beast.
They did that in Jeepers Creepers. Remember when we watched that and I was like, it was such a good movie.
That legitimately freaked me out until they introduced the actual Jeeper Creeper or whatever the fuck you would
and
call
it. And The Descent. They did the same thing with The Descent. It was like, that was a freaky ass fucking like scary ass movie to be caught down in like underground caves and have to like swim underneath rocks to get to the next like passageway. Mm-hmm. And then they had these like albino,
like cave people.
Yeah. Amphibious humans that made like this really gross sound. I know you hated that
the
sound.
The clicking. Yeah. I don't like the clicking.
And it was like, why? Why did they do that? They ruined the entire movie. It was so much scarier before they added that shit in.
Okay. I have a question for all of our listeners. Everybody out there that's listening, all three of you. I want to know, and you can hit us up on Instagram or you can message me on anywhere, but I want a legitimately scary movie. Not one that, not like gore and violence, not like a Serbian film Gross or Sallow Gross or what was the ones we just watched, like Inside or Grotesque and stuff like that. I want like a legitimately scary psychological movie.
Deliverance is that.
No.
But you keep saying it's not a horror movie. It depends. It's in the eye of the beholder. What happens in Deliverance is horrific.
Okay.
Let's do a poll. If you guys think that we should do a show on Deliverance, you make your vote heard.
All right. This is what Little Ben from Watching Films on the Toilet podcast said. I really enjoyed hearing you guys make no progress with the gore score rules today. So
what? He's acting like we just like do our show by the seat of the pants.
Okay. In our whatever episode that was posted last week, we tried to get down to the crux, the base, the nitty gritty of our gore score.
Juxtaposition.
No, juxtaposition means opposite.
I don't know. I just threw that word out. It was on the spelling test. I remember when I was in elementary school.
Okay, so we tried to figure out what the gore score was. Now, obviously, this movie here is only like a one or two because there's no gore whatsoever. I don't even know what point I'm trying to make. But
yeah, where are you going with this?
I don't know. Shout out to Little Ben and Eamon from Watching Films on the Toilet podcast. And while we're at it, shout out to Mark and Brooke from A Podcast on Elm Street. The entire crew at Horror Movie Crew.
You got that right. You didn't get a Extreme Horror Replay right. But
Yeah.
I'm going to put like a little tag and put it on a piece of thread and like tie it around your wrist. So you remember the name of the show. You can see it anytime you want. I'll have it laminated.
I've had, yeah, a lot of tongue tying issues lately.
Hey, brain farts.
But yeah. Oh,
which is fine. I like when you're like this because then I feel like we're simpatico, you know?
That was the other thing I told Little Ben was that I've never met someone who's an epidemiologist yet so flighty.
I never claimed to be a good epidemiologist. I'll say that right.
Watch out, watch out, city of Detroit. So Hedwig comes back in, and again, Hedwig is the little boy personality, and this is where he does this dance, because he tells Casey that he's got a window in his room, and he says he's got a walkie-talkie. So
she's all like, let me get into the room, because if there's a window, there's a way to escape.
Exactly. And it turns out that the window is just basically a sheet of paper with a window drawn on it, And
with crayons.
And then he flips the paper, and one picture is an open window, the other picture is a closed window.
Which is kind of cute, but you're still wondering, like, this is like something that maybe like a 7 or 8 year old, right?
Probably, yeah, like 6 maybe.
Yeah.
And this is where he dances.
It's not James McAvoy. This is like just, this is the writers. Just obviously they've never had kids that age.
No, I do think a 9-year-old would be more intelligent than this character. Now, maybe he was mentally.
No, I could be wrong, because Nash is 11 and he's still doing like forts, like furniture forts with blankets and stuff.
I'm 39. I would do blanket forts. So, yeah, this is where Hedwig dances to a song called Frog Bass. I don't know if the band is Frog Bass or the band is Snails.
He does like the hip hop dancing and stuff to it.
Wow, that's really loud. Sorry. So, yeah, he's dancing to this song. And
it doesn't seem like somebody that would dance to this would be the same person that, you know, used crayons and made a window on the wall.
No, it doesn't. And again, that kind of brings us back. Maybe M. Night doesn't have a child that age and he doesn't know how to write children. Possibly. Maybe.
You know what I was thinking?
Tell me anyway.
It's kind of a segue to this. I was thinking about the movie The Shining.
Okay.
And Danny is riding his big wheel. And he gets scared.
I would love to ride a big wheel through a giant abandoned hotel.
Big wheels are so fun. We're so fun. So he's on this big wheel. And he gets scared. And so he turns around and he kind of pushes the back wheel to get him going.
Right.
That is ingenious. Because we did that when we were riding big wheels. That's knowing how to read a kid.
I loved just ripping down the driveway in my big wheel.
You remember that? But they were the wheels were so cheap they get holes and stuff.
did yours have the handbrake or did you?
I didn't have the handbrake, but I did have the place on the back where somebody could actually stand behind you. And Noreen and me probably had to share a big wheel because we had to share like everything.
Back in the 80s.
Everything when we were little.
Back in the 80s, listeners, a big wheel was a plastic tricycle that was really low to the ground, and it had a giant front wheel and two beefy fat rear wheels.
You're so badass.
I know that's a movie quote, but I can't think, I was thinking of that Jerry, she's so phony. The way you said it.
Oh man, that Michael Jackson. Or no, Michael Jordan is so phony. That is a compliment.
So, okay. Long story short, things happen, and then this beast appears. The beast is just another character of James McAvoy's, and basically, what it is like this. As Nancy said earlier, like this supernatural.
I totally tuned out at this point.
Like ultra strong, like can climb walls character. And he's basically like bloodthirsty. And
it was such a good movie up until this.
See, and.
And I'm like rolling my eyes. Like, why did they have to bring this shit into the movie? It was a very good movie.
I 100% agree. I think this movie would have been a lot better had like one of the characters been maybe like a serial killer or
it would have been an awesome movie if it was just a movie and not part of a series. And it was just a movie that was like it like pushed like psychological boundaries and stuff like that. But they had to make it supernatural.
Now
we can ruin it.
We have not seen the other two, the first or the following.
I really don't want to.
I think if this beast character was replaced by a personality that was a murderer or a, like, maybe human trafficker or something like that, it would have been a lot more effective and a lot more psychologically scary than it was. But this Beast character, you know, it's basically James McAvoy, like, somehow they made him, like, really beefed up and you know, like I said, he can climb walls, he can, like, break through metal bars and shit like that. I think this movie would have been a lot more effective had they gone a different route with it.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of like, you know, and how it, like, in Leviathan and Deep Star 6 and even Sphere.
God, we have got to watch those movies again.
it gets to, like, where you get right into that, like, place where you get claustrophobic being under the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bring in the supernatural shit and ruin the entire movie.
Well, I mean, okay, so
Sphere... I don't want to hear that there's, like, an alien at the bottom of the ocean. I don't give a shit about that. I give a shit about, like, being stuck in a submarine at the bottom of the ocean.
And that, listeners, is why we need your opinions on what your scariest movies are. Not gore and violence, but scary. Like, actual psychologically torturing, scary movies. And don't just say Poltergeist, because we've seen Poltergeist, and that shit ain't scary to us. I want to wake up to nightmares.
Remember on Deep Star 6 when Miguel Ferrer, like, did the unpressurizing
to go to the, like, and when he was exploded, going to the surface. Yeah. Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But when they start turning it into, like, some, like, deep sea creature alien thing.
They know more about space than they know about the deep sea.
It's so disappointing.
Totally fucks me up.
What was that movie that it wasn't the movie that came along that was kind of like that, had LL Cool J in it?
Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah. Well, they did about, the same thing.
About the sharks.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They did the same thing. It was, like, very, like, because I get claustrophobic thinking about, like... Well, you
knew from the beginning on that one, though, that it was about sharks.
Right. I mean, so... Those are the kind of movies that get to me, because I think we just talked about this. My nightmare way of dying would be to be in the dark water drowning.
I think that was one of your would you rathers, yeah.
And these movies kind of got me in the feels because of that.
Okay.
But when they bring this supernatural...
So...
Unearthly...
So, like, you would like the first half of the movie underwater, but not the second half.
Underwater? Have I seen that?
You have not.
We should watch it then. I like Deep Water, just because that was pretty much what I'm talking about. I mean, they're like...
Oh, the open water.
Open water. Open yeah. water, sorry. Yeah, because they're, like, abandoned in yeah. the middle of the ocean. That would be like...
That would be freaky.
That would be my worst nightmare, because I didn't even like when we went to Florida, being out in... the ocean, like, on the beach, just because those waves are so, like, overcoming, like, if you're not used to them.
We were booger boarding and everything.
But Nash was really small back then, and I was, like, deathly afraid that he was gonna get, like, taken out to sea. It's scary.
I know it can be.
Oh, come on, I told you about when I was younger and we would go to the cottage. And we would have the raft that had, like, the barrels and the platform on top. And we would swim underneath the raft.
Yeah.
Just to see, like, the green water underneath us. And you were like, oh, fuck no, I'd never do that. That's too scary.
No, I wouldn't. I hate green water.
But that's what we did.
Okay, well, you're a freak.
Yeah, you don't like lakes because you're afraid, like, a snapping turtle or a snake is going to come and bite at you. That doesn't happen.
Lakes are dirty.
Like, the ocean is cleaner than lakes.
No.
Okay, we're getting way off topic.
The Beast comes. Casey kills him. End of story. No, Casey doesn't kill him. She shoots him once, and then he like, miraculously doesn't die. But Casey is rescued. And
I can't offer anything because I checked out by this time.
End of credits. If you're, or roll the credits. If you're going to watch this movie, watch it basically for James McAvoy and the five or six characters
his
that he plays.
Phenomenal performance was, it was just superb. Did he win any awards for that? You know?
He may have won some like independent type things, but of
he's
course,
a really good actor.
The Oscars, you know, they don't do the horror movies. But yeah, this is just one of those movies. Like, yeah, if you're going to watch it for basically just James McAvoy, because each character that he plays is, I don't know. He's really good.
Yeah. It's riveting. No, he does a really good job. With the multiple personalities. And that's what we were saying. Like, another actor would not have been able to play that role.
I don't think so.
That well.
I don't think so. It
was made for him, I feel.
It's hard to pick out actors. Like we were talking about in our whatever episode. It's hard to pick out actors that could do these certain parts. Because once you see a certain actor in a certain role, it's hard to replace them. Now,
that's how you can tell it's a good actor.
Right.
Because he becomes...
He becomes that
character. That character. But we're talking... I mean, if you think about, like, Brad Pitt or, like, Tom Cruise. I mean, it's all just the same kind of thing, just regurgitated in a different movie.
Brad Pitt, I think, in a lot of his more... current movies, when he was not labeled as the quote-unquote sex symbol, like Bullet Train, he was really good in Inglourious Basterds.
He was good in Inglourious, but his character in Inglourious Basterds was the same as...
I know what you're getting at.
Yeah,
though.
I mean, he plays like the same character in different versions of himself.
Right.
And I don't feel like he has a very good range.
He doesn't have a lot of range, but he's, but like, unlike James McAvoy, he's one character throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you have to show a lot of range if you're playing like five or six characters in the same movie. So I don't know. I like him. I like James McAvoy. And actually he's one of the characters, I guess I would put him on my honorable mentions from our whatever episode where we pick the three actors that we think kind of define movies. I would put him on there. And actually, I may even replace Sigourney Weaver with James McAvoy. But
yeah, he's a really good actor. He's probably like one of the up and coming that you're going to see a lot.
I think a lot more.
Yeah.
He's probably really picky about his role.
Yeah. Well, he good actors like, usually are.
Yeah. He does seem like he would be kind of picky.
But like Anthony Hopkins, he doesn't just like take any role that's presented to him. He takes a role that he feels like he can like.
I think so. He hasn't been in much lately.
Now you get the overrated actors like Tom Hanks. Every single one of his characters could be played by any other actor, and it would be an equal performance. I'm sorry. I like Tom Hanks as a comedic actor, like back in like the girl with one red shoe or
Bachelor Party.
There was
The Burbs.
Yeah. Money Pit
was really good.
He did a good job in Forrest Gump, but anybody could have played that role.
He was always running.
Yeah. I just feel like He's a good actor that has, like, he's kind of like your Heinz 57 actor, you know?
Yeah.
You just put him in a movie and see what he does.
Right. I get it.
Then you get an actor that's like, oh my gosh. And I don't know if they do, like, the method acting or... I think that Robert Downey Jr. does method acting.
I don't know about him, but I know like Christian Bale always has been said that he does.
Like they don't respond to anything but the character's name on set.
What was the guy that did, it was Abraham Lincoln.
In Lincoln?
Yeah, the one I fell asleep at.
I don't know.
What was his name?
Who played him?
I don't. That's what I'm trying to get to.
Was it the guy that? Are you talking about the guy that?
Who's in Last of the Mohicans?
Yeah. What's his name?
I can't think of his name. But yeah, he's a method actor. But okay, so fuck this shit.
Well, but they take their job seriously. In other words.
Well, right. I mean, I guess that's good to a point. Who cares about the other actors? Okay, what do you give this movie on the gore score? Now, the gore score is gore, violence, and cringe factor.
There's a lot of cringe. Just because, I mean, you don't know what his character is going to do, like, next.
Right.
And it's uncomfortable because you don't know who he's going to play next. You don't know which personality he's going to have.
Okay.
All right, so I give it a 6.
Oh, my God. Dude, you are fucked. You're so fucked.
What do you give it?
This is like a 2.
A 2? He's a good actor. It was a good movie up until the sci-fi crap.
Oh, my holy shit. Okay.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yes. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're giving this movie a 6 on the gore score for gore, violence, and cringe.
Cringe, yeah.
And you're only giving Evil Dead 2013 a 2. That's what you said on our whatever episode.
Yeah, that movie fucking sucked.
Oh my.
There's like a level of like acting ability.
No, shut up.
No, you said cringe.
No, shut
up. And cringe includes acting ability. Up.
Okay, I'm done. You're done. Get the fuck off my set. Gore, violence, and cringe. You're giving this a 6, but yet you only give Evil Dead 2013 a 2.
I don't know. I thought this was my vote, and I didn't know it was going to be judged.
How in the world?
I wouldn't call it cringe like being bad acting. Because if cringe was bad acting, then yes, Evil Dead 2 would have qualified.
Not Evil Dead 2. The remake. Evil Dead 2013.
Okay. If cringe means bad acting.
I know you don't like the original Evil Deads. I get that.
It's not about the acting. It's about how the movie makes you feel. And with Split, it's kind of like you don't know what his personality is going to do. It's kind of like you're kind of like wondering what's going on. So that's a little cringy.
That's not cringy, though.
Well, that's my opinion of cringy.
Jesus.
You want me to give you some mouth service? You want me to, like, feed you some bullshit? I'm not going to do that. Just because I don't agree with you does not mean I'm wrong.
I can't believe you.
You didn't even remember Daniel Day-Lewis.
You barely remembered him.
I remembered him.
Okay.
In enough time.
How in the world? I don't. I'm completely baffled. I am utterly baffled. What's your overall? What's your overall score?
My overall score for the movie would be a solid 7.
Yeah, a 6 on the gore score.
A cringe score, because it's not just gore.
When did you cringe, though?
You didn't think it was cringy when he was like, I added paprika. It was like getting awkward.
And
when Hedwig was doing the hip hop dancing and stuff, you get uncomfortable when you see that.
I didn't. We laughed our asses off through the whole thing.
Okay, but you can laugh at something that's cringy.
That's true. I'm laughing my ass off at your gore score.
All right. My gore score is cringy to you. That's fine. I don't give a shit.
Oh, my God. And you only give Evil Dead 2013 a 2.
I don't know why you're, like, kissing the ass of Evil Dead, the remake.
Because I like that movie.
Obviously.
Oh,
you're entitled to your wrong opinion.
I, okay. Okay. Man, I just, what is your definition of cringe?
Something, it's watching something on TV that makes you uncomfortable, that makes you agitated to see what's going to happen next.
Okay.
And I am sure that all the listeners feel the same way.
So,
what is your definition of cringe?
Just making you uncomfortable.
Okay, so exactly what I said. I feel like his performance, because he did so well, you're wondering how far he's going to go with this character.
Okay, so I'm trying to think of a movie that we have up here. Okay, Dawn of the Dead 2004. What would you give that on the gore score?
Well, we're considering like gore.
Gore, violence, and cringe.
It's got a lot of gore, maybe like a 6.
Okay. So how can you how can you say that? I understand you don't like the movie Evil Dead 2013. I get that.
I don't know why, and you're all like just madly in love with it.
Okay, because I like it.
Not that great.
It may not be to you, so your overall score would not be that high. But if Dawn of the Dead 2004 is a 6, why would Evil Dead 2013 not be a 6?
Did I say 6? I thought I said 7.
6 or 7. I don't. So either way. But I guess what I don't understand, because Evil Dead 2013 is just as gory, is it not?
Maybe the part where the nurse girl hits her head on the toilet or whatever it was. Pretty gross.
One of these days, we're gonna nail this down somehow. So
you're asking for, I'm not gonna feed you something that you want to hear. I'm feeding you the truth.
And that's what I want, is your truth. I am just trying to.
I contradict it at every turn.
No, I am trying to break it down in a way
that makes me have your same score. No, it's not going to happen.
I'm trying to break it down in a way that you can compare two like movies and get the same score.
It doesn't mean the movies are alike.
I totally get that.
In that but specific category.
So you would say that Evil or that Dawn of the Dead 04 was more gory than Evil Dead. Considering that, you know, the guy gets stabbed in the eye with a needle, the girl cuts her arm off, the girl slices her face with the knife or with the mirror.
That's just all like bullshit effects. Okay.
What is it in Dawn of the Dead?
What did I give the score in Dawn of the Dead?
You literally just said a 6 or 7.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Evil Dead.
Okay. Okay. Last week
I was Hedwig.
Okay. You told me that Evil Dead 2013, etc. Yes. was a 2 on the gore score. That's not your overall score. I know your overall score is low because it doesn't have that rewatchability and that entertainment value.
Okay. So the gory parts on Evil Dead,
yes,
were predictable. You know, going in. Because you've seen the original Evil Dead, you know it's going to be gory. You want to see something like over the top, and you don't.
Okay, but Dawn of the Dead was a remake also.
I think the remake was better than the original.
But you don't think that Evil Dead 2013 was better than the original?
My original Evil Dead score would be like a -2.
I don't fucking get you. I don't get you.
I'm a mystery wrapped in a riddle.
Inside of an enigma. Mm-hmm. I don't get you. You are so confusing. Like I said, how can one person frustrate me so much but turn me on so much? Oh my lord. Okay, so yeah, for me, okay, what was your overall score? I think you said a 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Okay. That one I'll agree with.
I didn't know I had to have a score that you would agree with.
I guess I don't understand what your logic. I think what you're doing with Evil Dead 2013 is because, or 2013 is because you don't like the movie. You're not giving it a high gore score. The gore score is not opinionated.
The way you are scoring, you're based on like not valid criteria, because this is like people that think Alien is like this wonderful, astronomically good movie. I think it's crap because it's boring.
But that would be your overall score, your entertainment and rewatchability. That's not your gore score. The gore score is strictly gore, violence, and cringe, as you brought up last week.
Okay, so Evil Dead, remake has what? They have some girl cutting her arm off. They have, I don't even remember. It was just very, what's the word I'm looking for? Is it trite? It was expected.
Oh, that has nothing to do with the gore score.
It has to do with a gore score for me.
Expected has nothing to do with the gore score. That would be your overall score.
Cringe.
Okay. Gore, violence, and cringe, as you say. We've added the cringe factor.
So Evil Dead, the remake, it was kind of like a roll my eyes kind of movie.
That would also fall under
I'm not talking about the general. I'm talking about even the effects. They were like trying to go for something. I get what they were trying to go for, but it just didn't grab me the way it grabbed you. I'm not gonna align my answer to yours.
I'm trying to get us on the same page.
We're not supposed to be on the same page. You let me have my opinion. You can have yours.
Time out. We're supposed to be on the same page for the qualifications, not for the overall score.
I guess I have a different opinion of cringe than you.
Okay, but what about the gore and the violence?
Cutting off an arm, hitting your head on a toilet is predictable. It's been done to death.
Nope. Take the predictability out of it.
It's gore and violence.
But predictable that's overall. It's just gore, violence, and cringe.
To my numbers.
That is what the basis of the gore score was supposed to be.
I'm sticking to my numbers.
Strictly gore, violence, and well, originally it was just gore and violence.
Yeah, you're changing the definition. Changing it to suit yourself.
No, I changed it for you to add the cringe factor.
Okay. I felt more cringy with this movie than I did with Evil Dead the remake.
Okay, but still, I think what you're doing is refusing to admit that even though you don't like it, and I totally understand that.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I said I didn't love it. It's not like...
Okay.
I mean, if it was on TV right now, I'd be watching it.
All
right,
but...
But it's not like a, hey, hon, let's watch Evil Dead, the remake of Evil Dead.
Okay, and that part I understand. I know you don't like the movie, but I think what you have to, and what you're not admitting, is that is that the gore is just as leveled as, say, Dawn of the Dead 2004.
I'm not going to agree with you on that.
I think you're just not agreeing to be abstinent.
I think that you want me to agree with you because you want, if I agree with you, then you're going to think you're right.
No, I am trying to...
The whole purpose of this is to get my perception of it. Don't interfere with my perception of it. This is what I said.
We are going to have another whatever episode where we strictly figure out the gore score once and for all. What is a 10 on your scale?
Of gore?
Yeah.
Gore, violence, and cringe.
Yeah.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. When was it?
Horror movie.
You didn't say that. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, when the guy that Brad Dourif
Mm-hmm.
When he kills himself is cringe.
Okay.
Because that makes you feel very uncomfortable. It makes you feel sad. It makes you feel like you don't want to watch the movie anymore.
But we don't.
That's profound.
Okay, but we don't review whatever movies.
You asked me how I would.
Okay, what horror movie would be a 10 on the gore score?
The original Pet Sematary, because it's cringy to see that a little boy would get hit by a truck.
Okay, I'm going to have to go back and listen to what you gave it. So, okay, what's your gore score?
8.
8?
8.
Your gore score? Gore and violence?
I know, as much as it sounds off, the shoe in the road with the blood.
Okay.
To me, that's beyond.
So, all right, fine. What did
it's
you
all
get,
relative.
What did you give this overall? I don't even remember. Was it a 6 or 7?
I think I said 7. But 6.5. Let's say 6.5.
Okay. Oh, boy, oh, boy. We'll get it figured out one of these days. Okay, so for me, yeah, it's a 2 on the gore score because nothing was cringy. Nothing was gory. There was very little blood. As far as my overall score, the rewatchability and entertainment factor, definitely like a 7 or 8. Because this is one of those movies that you can watch. It's not very gross. You could put it on and have people watch it during a party. And we've seen it, 4 or 5 times at least?
This and one? Maybe like 3 times.
Split?
Yeah.
So 4 or 5 times. Yeah, it's just, yeah, James McAvoy's acting is really top notch. Every character that he does is different, but it's really good. And the characters that you're actually introduced to, they are kind of fleshed out and interesting, and you want to learn more about them. And it would be interesting to see the other characters that he's supposedly has inside of his head. Was it Kevin Wendell Crumb? Is the actual, like, real person?
I don't know. I have to pee.
Yeah, so do I. Okay, so, all right. Yeah, really quick shout-outs to Slash You Podcast, Watching Films on the Toilet, Mark and Brooke from A Podcast on Elm Street. Thank you guys for being, you know, friends of the show. And I know there's others, Our Life in Horror. But yeah, I have been Ben, and Nancy, just she's all confusing as hell. So thank you all for listening. Find us on Instagram, XHR_podcast. You can find us on Spotify and all the major podcast platforms. We're going to go because she has to pee. So be good to each other and stay safe. And I'll just say it for her. No, I'll let her. She's either gonna say bye, y'all, or goodbye.
Because she if you want to do the bye, you can do the bye. I'll just say bye.
Good enough. We'll talk to you guys next week. Take care.